And it's Scott Simmons here with the Radio Real Estate Show. Hello, Salt Spring Island. It's a beautiful day, Tuesday afternoon, May 8th, 2012. And I've got a guest on the radio show today, Tony. And Tony's from the village of Fulford. And we've come to talk about Fulford Water. Now, people may ask, why is Fulford Water on the Radio Real Estate Show? It's because when you buy a house on Salt Spring, you know, you expect to be able to turn on the tap, and people want to know about the water district. So my goal over this year is to get someone from Highlands on, someone from Bettis on, all the different water districts, and go through all of the... So how are you, Tony?
Good. Thank you for having me on, Scott.
Well, you know, you've lived in Fulford for a little while, hey?
About 3 years now, but my family's been there since 1930.
Since 1930. So you're on the commission, the Fulford Water District Commission, aren't you?
That's right.
And so tell me about the Fulford Water District. What's happening?
Well, currently we're struggling with operational costing with the CRD. But, you know, more important and more of interest is a history of what's going on in our relationship with the CRD right now. We've just finished connecting the last of the households to the system. That was done last summer. Unfortunately, there have been approximately 20 families that have been sitting with raw water treated through chlorine, not through the main plant, for about 2 years after everybody else, because the main project had failed to fund the additional work required to bring them onto the system.
So for those not on Salt Spring or aware of the water, the water for the Fulford District comes from Weston Lake, isn't that correct?
That's right.
And then you have a treatment plant down there.
Oh, sorry, it comes from Stowell Lake.
Stowell Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Weston.
But no, yeah, sorry, you're right, Weston Lake.
Weston Lake.
Yes.
And then you have a treatment plant.
That's right.
And then you pipe it out to all the houses.
That's right. There's approximately 102 residents or users of the system.
So now you're on the board that, you know, do you govern it? What's the mandate of your board?
We actually provide the interface between the community and the CRD that manage the system on behalf of the people of Fulford.
Right. So now you've just hooked up the last 20 residents. So, and the school, is the school hooked up now too?
The school's in the process of being hooked up.
And that'll be one of the final hookups, I guess.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
So it's been a huge project, hasn't it, over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years?
It has been. It's for the number of residents that are use the water system, it's been a significant project. I believe the costs are somewhere in the order of about $1.5 million.
Now, has everything gone just perfectly with the project?
Of course, Scott. No, it's been a travesty of errors and problems with the management of the project, and probably the conception of the project in the first place. We've suffered through a number of expensive errors and mismanagement by the CRD in the project, which costs people of Fulford significant money considering the small base of people that are using it.
Well, what part do you want to tackle first here, Tony, on that?
Well, I guess first, the initial project, we were required, of course, by the Walkerton incident
right.
back east that across the province, across all of Canada, all water systems must meet a certain standard. And Fulford was, of course, one of many that had a basic chlorine treatment system and didn't meet current standards or expectations of the federal government. So through a series of grants and with the federal government and the provincial government, there was some contribution to the cost of putting a new system in. Unfortunately, those came with a tag that said that we can no longer manage our own system. We had to involve a form of government, and the current one in this area is the CRD, and they had to do the work on our behalf, otherwise we weren't entitled to the grants.
Oh, okay.
So those grants came to us. They represented, I think, about 60% of the capital costs at the end of the day. Unfortunately, the CRD was not prepared to have the expertise that was required in order to manage projects like that. And a certain amount of what I'm going to tell you in this part is not a personal experience. I stepped into the commission's role after a significant amount of work was done.
Right.
But what they have done is they spec'd a DAF system that was significantly oversized for the requirements of the community, anticipating growth. We can all argue about whether that was the right move or not. I believe if you put expensive infrastructure in that's oversized, then what you do is indeed encourage growth or actually force growth, because the system is expensive and the people that are using the system have a hard time bearing the cost. But that aside, the system is probably roughly double the size of what's needed to service the 100 users right now. They tendered that system through a number of delays and errors in construction. The system was delivered and installed, and by the time that actual installation happened, the warranties had expired on the DAF plant itself. So there was no recourse back to the manufacturer. There was no running up of the plant, no proof of operation prior to us actually using the system.
So I have a question for Tony. You call it a DAF plant. Can you just explain what that is?
I'm not sure I can in a clear way to you, other than there's a number of systems that are potentially can service the community, and this is the one that was chosen. It's a style of system, a style of treatment, without getting into particulars.
Is it in a different type that we're used to dealing with, or is it a standard type of?
It's actually an innovative system. Federal government, as I understand, were very interested in trial testing this plant. It was new technology, new to the market, and that was one of the conditions that we received our grants on, is if we actually installed this particular type of system.
Oh, okay.
Whether that was heavily suggested or an actual requirement can be debated, but we were certainly, if not mandated, we were heavily pressured into using this style of system.
Okay. So it's a newer type of treatment plant then?
It's new technology, that's
okay.
Right.
Sure.
So along comes with that is that there's no real history of what operating costs are going to be. Or difficulties. Being new technology, it's always difficult to tell whether people have got it right 100% and what kind of tuning up needs to be done afterwards. So to me, there's a major problem in actually taking delivery of the plant and delaying the installation to the point where warranty had expired.
That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. But it's, once again, it's part of the situation we ran into. There was some infrastructure that had to be put in the ground, some piping to be replaced or to be put in to service the residents and the fire protection system. During the process of installing the system, even though the lines were supposed to be 6-inch in the ground to handle fire protection, somewhere during the process, a decision was made by a CRD employee with the contractor that a 4-inch line was adequate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They installed our standpipes for fire protection backwards, so they didn't face the right direction. That, along with a number of other minor things that all added up to a significant capital cost for us to rectify at the end of the day, were done as part of the construction, including the fact that they didn't have enough funds when they were finished to connect these other 20 families. So what this resulted in is that we've had to spend approximately $250,000 in additional funds, which represents about $2,500 per household, in order to change the size and diameter of that pipe and put the right pipe in the ground, change the standpipes to the right direction, and provide service to the 20 people who, by the way, have during the whole project have paid the full cost of what we all paid for service there, even though they were connected to an old system. And last summer, the lake had an algae bloom in it. and they were told that they can no longer drink the water. Quite frankly, it was coming out of the waters, out of the taps of their residence, a foul smelling yellow in color.
Right.
And so the CRD installed a standpipe at the end of their drive, at the end of their street, and they were forced to carry water to their house for drinking and cooking use. That went on for about 4 to 6 months last summer, even though during this whole time they're just paying the full bore for water service. Which, by the way, when you could take in a combination of the parcel tax for capital improvements, the operating cost runs very close to $200 a month now for the provision of water in a rainforest area.
So that's including the parcel tax and the usage tax,
roughly.
Average.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is an expensive charge for water.
It is, $2,400 a year. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, and you know, when you kind of, when you brought me on as part of a real estate program, it's an impact on the cost or desirability of the real estate within the area when you're looking at that kind of a charge.
Well, that's why the buyers want to know. I mean, it's full disclosure. We want everyone to know what they're getting into. I mean, I don't want to ever sell a house and hide it from somebody and say, oh, everything's fine. I mean, it's worth laying it all out, what happened, why it's expensive, what kind of system you have, and then where is it going from here, and is it working, is there any problems, is it good, is the quality, what's the water like, is it good?
I think it's a good quality water. I've had people comment that they still smell a chlorine smell within the water, which shouldn't be there, though I don't personally pick that up. What the future holds for us as far as the water system goes, even though we put some pipe in the ground, we have old infrastructure in the ground, stave pipe or asbestos line pipe that's been in the ground for 70, 80 years, and the majority of our system. We haven't got a cost estimate on it, but I wouldn't have any trouble believing that's another $1.5 to $2 million to replace the main lines in the system, and as how long we can continue to run on the existing system is anybody's guess. There are automatically, when you say the system is 70 years old, you mentioned asbestos pipe wood stave pipe, you would automatically want to remove that and put in new infrastructure. There's a lot of cases in out there where that kind of system has lasted for 100 to 125 years. I believe
right.
Even Victoria has some of that infrastructure still in place in their system. So there may not be a real urgency to do it, but you need to be aware that,
right.
You know, we've got a new DAF plant, we've got some branch lines that are new, but we've got a significant amount of that infrastructure that will still need to be replaced at some time in the future.
Now, what was the cost when you said that people, like the 20 people, had to pay up? What was their cost of hooking up to the system? Like, if somebody had a lot down there and they had no water, what's a general cost to hook up to the water system?
Well, we don't have any charge other than the charge for ongoing usage of the system. The charge would really be from the property line to your house, and that, of course, varies the location, whether you're dealing with rock, whether you're dealing with soil. But we don't have a specific charge for people to try it to hook up at this particular moment.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
It's something that we're struggling with. We're having some people now that are looking at it, trying to get onto the water system, and we're having a bit of a debate as to what that should entail for those people. Part of it is that there hasn't been a lot of movement in the real estate market in the Fulford area. It's basically all residents that have been around for 10,
20, 30, 30 40, 50 years.
Exactly. So we haven't had to really face that situation where you've got three
right.
or four lots that are going to be developed.
Right. But one would assume that they would have to pay like a $10,000 charge or something to hook up. I mean, you would think that would be the case.
Well, we are working on that.
Right.
Presently, we got a situation in front of us right now. CRD has passed along. They got a request in November 2010 for a property owner in the area to hook up some lots for a potential small subdivision. We just received that request last week.
And when did it come in?
November 2010.
2010.
That's right.
So the CRD got notice in November 2010. And we're talking, well, it's 2012 for the listeners, just want to get that. So it took them over a year and a half to notify you?
Yes.
That there was a potential that somebody wanted to hook up, maybe?
Yeah, that's right. And looked for us to make a decision within a week.
Within a week?
Yeah.
If you're not too busy, could you get us the decision within a week?
That's right.
Well, what did they say when you asked them why they didn't let you know?
We got problems in our infrastructure. We got a lack of communication within the organization. We don't make any apologies. We don't make any excuses. Just deal with it.
Wow. I mean, isn't that just hard to deal with as someone on the commission?
It is. We're volunteer people, and we take our role very seriously. We believe in the provision of services and the people who deserve answers. And I would think that that property owner would look at the commission and say that we failed in dealing with his issues in a timely manner. But like I say, we were just informed about this requirement a week ago, and we'll deal with it as speedily as we can.
Wow, that's quite shocking that for a year and a half they sat on it and did nothing.
Well, unfortunately, I find it very symptomatic of what goes on in the CRD. We just struggle with the relationship. We're supposed to be in charge of our own water system, and the CRD is supposed to be providing the services and the professional services to make that system work. Every time we try to control operational costs or try to move something forward, we find ourselves in a great deal of difficulty with the CRD. A year and a half ago, we tried to cap our operating budget at the existing rate. The CRD brought the information to us, I believe it was about 2 weeks before the decision needed to be made with the new rates or operational budget. And when we attempted to reduce that 20% increase down to a 0% increase, which was the only one that we approved, they just took it to their board and told their board they needed more money to operate the system. The board basically ignored us and approved the budget, and the budget increased by 20%.
Wow.
And so we don't really feel that we're in control of our destiny. In fact, we sometimes wonder really what the purpose of the commission is, other than to satisfy some legislative requirement that they need to have the people of Fulford represented.
Well, I read through the minutes this morning before we got together at Dagwood's for lunch, which you bought, which was awfully nice of you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I found in the minutes it was a reference to somebody, I forget who it was, saying that, you know, they were getting out of the CRD, getting away from them and managing it yourself. Is there any possibility of doing that?
Well, I'm not sure that we can because of the tie-in required by the federal government for it to be managed by a professional organization. I'm also know that if there's any future grants, that the grant situation hasn't really changed. So you can stand out there by yourself and pay the full shot for it, or you can take advantage of grants. Now the governments have never had any grants for infrastructure in the ground. We hope that sometime in the future that there may be some kind of system that can help us with that. But we're just one of probably 10,000 communities across Canada that are all facing very similar situations. And so I'm not sure that there can be a lot of hope that there'll be any relief from senior government on those, or any assistance from senior government on those kind of infrastructure problems with pipe in the ground.
Unless you can change the water district into maybe calling it the F-35 system and push it through, and they may not notice.
Well, I think they're just a little bit more clever than that. So,
I mean, if we were talking some kind of, you know, weapon system in Fulford, and use that as a term, and you know, it just seems odd that the water is such an important issue all across the country, everybody's health. The water is the ultimate important issue, and you would think it would be a priority with all levels of government. But it's too bad that you can't get control of it yourself and manage it yourself. When there's local management, these things, the cost overruns don't seem to happen. People can control it, look after it, and save everybody a bundle of money.
Well, certainly, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the CRD do for us that that reduce or save us any money at this point. You know, they provide us with a billing system. This system is largely managed by Salt Spring Island Water Works as a contracted service from the CRD. That contract represents about one third of the operational costs. There's probably about another $20,000 on top of that that goes into actual hard physical costs that come from the plant. And the remainder of the costs all show up in things like administrative service charges, support help and that from the CRD. And I really question some of the values of that, that part of it. Our administrative costs have just recently doubled from the CRD in the last 2 years.
So they're charging you administrative costs, but the local water district is actually doing all the local administration and the billing to all the residents and everything else.
No, the CRD does the billing for us.
Okay.
So they do provide us administrative services.
Right.
There is some value there. I just have trouble with their costing formula. I try as part of this year's budget exercise to ask the CRD why the administrative costs have doubled. And first of all, the first answer is that because we weren't charging enough because everybody else charges more as a percentage. And then I challenged that and said, well, it's not really supposed to be about averages. It's supposed to be based on effort. And then we were told that what was happening is that Fulford and as other water districts around here were being actually subsidized by other water districts or other CRD functions because they weren't charging enough for administration. There's no proof of that. There's no evidence. All we know is that our administrative costs have doubled in the last 2 years. And there's no actual proof. And unfortunately, every time you ask a question, it begs another question. A lot of our, when we ask why we're being charged so much for some functions, we're told that we have a small system. The way that the legislation is set up for the CRD is that every system has to pay for itself. There's no trawling or costs across so if the CRD make a mistake in...
Tony, I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to stop for a quick commercial break. This is called a cliffhanger. Because you're on a roll, we're going to stop you, and that way the listeners are going to stay tuned to CFSI and listen to these important words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these words from our valued